But it's great to welcome Pastor Michael Epton. Pastor Michael is going to come and share God's word with us. We're excited about that. It's great that Mike and Yvonne have settled here at Oasis. Their history is here in the life of the church, and their today is here in the life of the church. Isn't that good? Historically, they've had a big impact, and you know, we're thanking God that they've got an impact to this day as well. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Michael and for Yvonne, Hannah here this evening. We just pray that, you know, Michael may feel tremendous liberty and freedom and release as he shares what you've placed upon his heart. We come with our open hearts and open minds and an open spirit to hear what you have to say. So now release and empower his words and speak to our hearts for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. It's lovely to see you tonight. We pray that God is already blessing you, or maybe not. What can I say? I would hope that you're already blessed. We do praise God for good worship in the sense of music, but every part of what we do when we walk through that door is worship anyway, so that's always good. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 54 if you have your Bible with you. Or, of course, you may be one of those people who've got a phone that does all sorts of strange things. I don't know. But what I do know is, I want you to turn to Isaiah 54, however which way you do have to do it. All right, we're going to look at this part tonight, and we're going to believe that God is going to touch our lives, because that's always his will and always his purpose. I'm just simply picking up at verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Tonight, for a moment or two, I want to talk to you about camping. Well, sort of. Enlarge the place of your tent. That's what that scripture says. And I have to say that back in the day, my father's idea of a holiday, and my mother obviously encouraged him, was to go camping, which was fine. But it normally was in a seaside resort, not always so fine. And his idea was that we would then set up on the beach and we'd have 2 weeks of mission, which, of course, we did, naturally. So that was camping. But the biggest thing we had that we noticed in our world was that our camping, our tents, were old-fashioned. They were the ones with the ridge and made out of very strong stuff. And one time we were down in the Gower, in the Welsh Peninsula, and it was one of those times, a bit like, you know, this last weekend has been, and it was torrential rain, and there was gales and everything else, and we were there, we'd put the tents up. We used to put 3 up, one for mother and father, one for my 2 brothers and myself, and the third one, which went like in a T-shape, and that was where we ate, and we put all the bits and pieces over there. So we were set, all good. Then this storm came. In the middle of the night, we heard squeals and shouts and awfulness, and Father said, we better get up there and see what's going on. He didn't want to be nosy. He just felt somebody was in distress. And so we did. We got out from the tent, and being a dutiful son, bear in mind, my oldest brother was a spastic. He couldn't walk, talk, or hear, so he was doing nothing. Paul was pretty much younger than I am. In any case, he would always avoid it if he could. But the fact was, we were out there, and suddenly we saw this couple and their young daughter, and they were lying in their zip-up bits, and they were lying on the floor with nothing covering them. We had noticed earlier in the day when they put up their tent, it was one of the new ones. Very smart. It had got windows, and it looked really lovely. However, as they say, all that glitters isn't gold, and trust me, when it comes to tents... We were able to take them in, and Father then dispatched me, being my dad, bless him, Michael, go and find the tent. So, of course, I got in the car, and I drove down this field with my headlights blazing, and there was this tent. I could see it in the distance. So I went down, but of course when I got down there, it was proudly sitting in the middle of a duck pond. But I got the tent, and I'm an obedient son, and we got back and we forgot it for the night. They stayed with us, and the next day we tried to help them. What was the difference between their tent and ours? Well, their tent wasn't designed for storms. It wasn't designed to withstand any of the difficulties of our English summers. Because if you think you've got problems with global heating today and all the rest of it, trust me, 50 years ago, the weather was just as bad. The winds were just the same. The rain was awful. If it came down, it really came down. So camping was no better then than it is today. Of course, they've advanced those lovely tents. They still have windows in, I understand, and they have metal frames, and they've actually fastened the floor to the side so that if the tent goes, you all go. It's very simple, really. But here we have in this lovely scripture where we have this word of God. And this is the Lord God Almighty talking. And I want you tonight to recognize that this is a message, though simple in its text. The reality is, its message to you is great. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. One of the reasons that our tent used to stand up so well was because when we first put the tent up, we would ensure that the cords, the ropes, were crossing over and they went to the ground. And then there were these tent pegs. And normally, bless him, my father found the place where there was the most stones and rocks. So it was quite difficult to put a tent peg in there. But however, we normally managed. The idea was to get those tent pegs in so deep, so firm, and those cords so tight. However, when the rains came, Father would say, Michael, we need to go out and lengthen the cords. Why would you do that? I'll explain it in a minute. But first, let's look at that enlarge the place of your tent bit. Pastor is talking at this time about church without walls. Well, trust me, being in a tent in those circumstances is pretty much the same. There's definitely no real walls that matter at all. And in that couple, of course, bless them, their walls are gone as well. But enlarge the place of your tent. What does that mean? What it simply means is this, is take a view of your life. Look at where you are, what your expectations are, where you're planning to be, and you expect God to do something in your life. When you get hold of that, when you look at that, and you're going to have that marvelous moment of it, of stretching out, the first thing you need to do is to know where you're going to put it, and just make sure the area is right for you. In God, in your life, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that he just wants you to just look and let the Holy Spirit of God do his work in you. He's going to move in your soul. He's going to move in your life. He will move in all sorts of situations. But you have to have a view that says, I can make room for God. I'm going to look for the best place I can be in my spirit, in my soul. Whatever is going on in my world, I'm making place. I'm making room for an expansion, for something else to happen. Now, in this church, I've noticed there's quite a lot of expansion happens. Quite a few babies have appeared, and that's one way of church growth. However, it's a long-term strategy. But the reality is this, that when we look at these things and we say, God, just help us to understand that your view, what you want us to do, is to enlarge the place of our tent, as to the tent itself. Now, we're going to do that. Now, out the back here, there's going to be a marvelous moment when that tin shed, which was a replica, by the way, of the original tin shed that was in Margaret Avenue when my father built it with some young men in this church all those years ago. It's pretty much the same thing. But it's going to go. Its day is done. And then there's going to be a lovely building which is going to make a beautiful facility to extend the kingdom of God. Whatever we're going to do in any part of your life, always look to see, how will it extend the kingdom of God? How is it going to make a difference? Pastor was speaking this morning, and that's the context of you being able to say, what difference am I going to make? Whether you're standing in Tesco's queue or whatever you're doing, there should be something about you that speaks to the peace, the love, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yvonne has been very blessed. She's put up with me for so many years, 55 actually. And there's a couple of people here who were there at the wedding, which we won't talk about. But the fact is that in all those years, she's had to put up with me being a bit strange. I tend to sing, not well, no, it's not good. But I do. If I'm standing in the queue in Tesco's, it doesn't matter where I am, I will be humming away and some song, and the people will often look and they'll say, is he always like that? And they've almost say, yes, I'm afraid he is. But that's okay. But you see, there was a song that we used to sing as my father and my brother, Paul, and myself. We used to sing Barbershop, you know, beautiful harmonies and all that kind of thing. And there was a song that we say, I'm singing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And that's the difference. When you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you know he's your Lord, your God, then you are in a place where you can sing. Doesn't matter how harmonious it is, but the reality is you can sing. Your spirit can sing. And he wants you to make sure that you have enlarged your vision. Open up. Look for God to do something more in your life. Never, never put yourself down. As far as God's concerned, you're able to do everything and anything in his name. When you look at that and you say, okay, I'm enlarging the place of my tent. I'm prepared to look and see what I can do and what I can make room for God to do in my life. Pastor was speaking very clearly this morning about the things that can get in the way of all of that. But here we are tonight and we look again. And we're simply saying, Lord, help me to make room. Make room for you to do more in my life. Then it says, stretch your tent curtains wide. Well, for sure, if you're going to have a covering, then it needs to be big. Of course, the type of tent here was not the one that I've just spoken about. It was one of those Arabic tents, which were quite large. I mean, they could get everything there, the family and the camel and everything else. And, you know, they were very strange in by shape and design, but they covered a lot of area. And God wants you to know that when he talks about a tent, he wants you in your spirit to stretch it wide. Make it cover. Don't hold back. Don't tell God you can't. We used to tell a story years ago, and it was taking the tea out of can't. And tell the story of a little boy who every time his mum asked him to do anything, like wash the dishes, I can't. Would you go and make your bed? I can't. You know, do what you're told, I can't. And he would always do this can't thing. Bless him. But then, of course, the story would go on and say, well, okay, but then we can take the tea out of can't. And, of course, this is for children, by the way, just in case you're wondering. And we'd get a piece of newspaper, and we would cut a letter T out of that piece of newspaper. And we'd show it to the children, say, look at that, there's a T, and here it is. We'd hold it up. We've taken the T out of can't, put it down. And they'll be looking at you very confused, which is not unusual, of course, when I'm talking to children anyway. But the fact is that they would do that, and then we would fold the piece of paper, and we would make some cuts. That's all we did, make some cuts. And by doing that simple act, we then could shake it out, and it was big enough for a man to walk through. You would tell me you can't. With God, you can. That was an illustration for a child. It was sent to show them that all things are possible with him. When you look at what you're going to do and you're going to stretch those covers and you're going to make sure that they're going to cover all areas of your experience, whether it's at work. When I was an engineer, I was working in Paul's in Draycott, and there we worked on aircraft engines in that part of the factory when I was an apprentice all those years ago. And it was quite interesting, but it wasn't really where God needed me or wanted me for that matter. But then we moved on. And God expects us to take every moment. When I was at work in Paul's, the men would come into work in the morning, on a Monday particularly, looking very blurry-eyed. And of course, I was ready to go, 8 o'clock, on the dot. And they would be looking at me and they'd say, what are you doing? I'd say, well, I'm ready for work. No, got to have a cup of tea yet. Or I've got to have a cigarette. Why? It's 8 o'clock. And they would look and say, no, you don't worry about that. I said, well, actually, I do. I'm paid from 8 o'clock. Are you paid from 8 o'clock? And they'd look at me and say, you know what? I get some language. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm sorry. I'm only an apprentice, of course. You understand? You know, any youngster. And I'd look and I would say, well, what's the problem? And they said, no, it's Monday. We need to get ourselves together. I said, really? They said, oh, yes, yeah, I've got to get myself together. Why is that? I had a great weekend. They would say, well, I had a wonderful weekend. Oh, really? What was you doing? Well, we were in the pub and we had a few beers and went and played some darts and we did this. And they said, we know where you were. You were in church. You were with your prayer book. Our prayer book's got handles on it. And I thought, okay. And it explained why they looked so blurry-eyed. They really were not happy people. But I was ready to go. And I was ready to sing. And I was ready to work. You see, there's a difference between the way that you approach your world, which is what Pastor was saying this morning, and the way that others do. If you are what you are in Jesus' name, then you are looking for a place, and you're not afraid to stretch your tent curtains wide. That covers the people at work. It covers your family. It covers the situation wherever you are. The Bible says that where you're standing is holy ground. And that's a beautiful thing to know, wherever you are. You can, as I keep referring to Tesco's, but there are other shops available. But the fact is that you, when you're standing in the queue, you are a child of God. And when everybody else is getting grumpy, you're not. And when you get to the till, you ask the person at the till, how are they? How's your day? And they stop and they look at you as if you just hurt them. And they can't understand why you would ask. And I say, well, when do you finish? Or when did you start? And before a few moments have passed, they've suddenly relaxed, and despite the queue, who are all taking an interest now in what we're doing, agitated but interested, the fact is, nevertheless, there's a moment, a more small moment, when you're stretching your tent curtain and you're covering that situation. You're covering that person. I was in the doctor's a few weeks ago, as we do need to do from time to time, just to make sure we're still breathing. And there was a man there, and he got an awful situation. His hands were jabbering. It was not something common. It was a mental illness. It was something to do with his brain. He'd had an accident, and it was really causing him bother. He was with his wife, and he was very, very conscious of this. And I walked over to him, as before my name hadn't been called yet, and I asked him his name. His name was John. And we talked very briefly about the situation. And I said, can I pray for you? I'm a Christian. And he said, oh, yes. And so we did. What God does or does not with that is up to the Holy Spirit. Not my problem. In that moment, we had stretched our tent curtain wide. Could have sat there in our little moment, in our little cubicle, as it were, on our seat, and just felt very uncomfortable. We have a choice. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Look for opportunity. Expect them to appear. And when they do, don't be afraid. Pastor said this morning, do not be afraid. I've read your scripture here tonight. And God said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to look after you. It's good. It's all good. But then it tells you to lengthen those cords. And this is the bit that really gets interesting. Because those cords in our old tent, when the rains came, something happens to canvas. And it gets very, very tight. And if you don't strengthen those cords and make them longer, which you can do, then they're going to pull the pegs out. And before you know where you are, your tent's going to be down at the bottom of the field. The strengthening of the cords speaks of flexibility. Never get too locked in to who you are or what you are to be flexible, to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And if you do that, he will honor you. He will bless you. And you just let that be that moment where you are lengthening those cords. You're making room, even in the storms of life. Even when the biggest winds are blowing across your family, upon the situation, he is the God of all comfort, he is the God of all peace, and he can bring to you absolute security and confidence because he is God. But strengthen those cords. Make room for it to happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and speak in your life. When I went to India, as part of my job over the years, and I was over there looking at the leper colonies and the schools and the hospitals we've got over in India, and it was my job to make sure they were all working properly and that they were getting all the supplies they needed and that kind of thing as part of our Elim ministry and missions. And, you know, you're there and you're watching all these people and you see their situation. you see the little children sat at the side of the road, and they've been there as soon as the crack of dawn when the light comes up. They're there. They're busy. They're trying to make some money, a few absolute pittance. And they will be there doing various little jobs, trying to make an end and make their life a little bit better. But they spent the night on the curb. They'd not gone into a house. They hadn't got one. They were in a cardboard boxes that were very fortunate. And you're in that environment, and you look at India, and you see it often on television. It looks all nice, and it's okay, you know, but it's not okay. When you're there, it smells. A constant, sickening smell. Because there are running open gullies down the side of the roads with all sorts of awful stuff in them. Dead dogs and everything else. But the fact is, it's not a nice place from the point of the smell. But when you're looking at the people, that's a different story. And I had to learn, being an Englishman, of course, who always wears a tie, which was always what I was chided about in various places. In Edinburgh, when I was a pastor up there, they said, pastor's got a tie for gardening, he's got a tie for going to church, he's got a tie for also, and he may even have a tie in bed. Well, I didn't actually, but the fact was they rarely ever saw me without a tie. But it's just me. That's okay. It's not anything for anybody else. You can do what you like, but that's me. It was the way my dad brought me up, and he always wore a tie, and that's the way it is. You know, we're just Eptons, and you know, just the way it is. But when you're in a place like that, tie or no tie, you've got to be flexible. You've got to realize that the bathroom is not a bathroom. The toilet is not a toilet. It's a hole in the floor. And you've got to know that when you're having a shower, it's actually a great big tipped-up oil drum full of water, and there's a lizard looking down at you as you are scooping the water out and putting it over your head. Wonderful experience. For me, that was being flexible. Trust me, was not my way, not what I would do. But you know what? The Lord blessed those moments miraculously. When I would be in a house and at 6 o'clock in the morning, of course, they all began to move. 7 o'clock, it became light, and so that's when things began to happen. And they would make sure that I was upright and vertical, and they would take me to a house for breakfast, which was a bit of a moment. And we would just sit there. Always wherever I appeared in India, for some obscure reason, there was a foldy-up chair and a tin plate. And that was supposed to be, you know, my cue. I'd got to sit down and be good. But in this house you would be, and the families would come, and the mums would pass their children through the windows, any way they could. So the man of God, even whether they were Hindus or whatever, didn't matter. As far as they were concerned, I was a man of God. Granted, I was white in a very coloured situation. But the fact still remains, that's what they saw. And they expected me to pray for their little ones before they went to school. Pray for that baby that was not doing very well. And God was so wonderful in the way that being in that situation, in that environment, totally alien to me, he wonderfully undertook and did wonderful things. I could be here all night talking just about that. But that's strengthening your cords. Being flexible. Make room for God to do what he's going to do, even when the weather's bad, even when it's going wrong. He is God, and he'll never let you down. But then we come finally to strengthen your stakes. As I said about putting them in the ground, it was quite remarkable yesterday where my daughter lives, and they had this thing for the Macmillan moment. And it was interesting because, bless them, they were doing it on the green, and the weather wasn't good. There was a force-8 gale, torrential rain, and they got 3 gazebos up, which didn't want to stay up. Well, they did, actually. They wanted to go down the road somewhere. And a man came along, and he said, I've got the very thing for that. He was a man who'd got a caravan, and so he brought these stakes that were used with caravans, and they're enormous things, and you drive them into the ground. And he looked with quiet content, and he said, that's got that. Well, it had, sort of. But we had to hold on to the things. We had to make them secure because it was difficult because of the ground was wet and soggy. But we got there in the end. But strengthen your stakes. Now, what do I mean by that? Very simply this. I want you to understand that strengthening your stake simply means this: go deeper in God. Deeper with Him. I've been saved for many years, to be accurate, 74 years. But you know what? As a little boy, I gave my life to Jesus in Beeston. There was a mission there at the Beeston Church in the Oasis. And, you know, God was wonderfully good because I didn't understand all the theology. Yes, my parents will love the Lord Jesus. That was fine. But asked me to quote scriptures and confirm everything. I couldn't do that. But I could genuinely say, Jesus was my Savior, that He loved me. He died for me. And I knew that He loved me. That's all that really mattered to me, and that's all I could say. And as time went on, He moved by His Spirit in me, and when I was 8 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a privileged position as I was in. But here is the point of all this. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how far you've gone in God. There's always room to go deeper. To deeper into His Word. Don't just be superficial. This is a beautiful book. And I encourage people to get the book. I know you've all got stuff on your computers and things, but you can't carry a laptop around with you all the time. And, you know, to have the Word of God, where you've got to turn a page, not press a button, but turn a page, and you've got to know where it is. That's a secret. Six of these books in here, you know. Yeah, well, yes, it's a big secret. It's finding where they all are. A bit of a mystery, especially when you're a youngster. But the fact is that it's good for you. It's good practice. But go deeper in the Word. I don't mean by just having a physical Bible. But by when you look at the Word, you simply say this to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just show me. Show me what you mean. They're not just words. All of them in here have purpose. No matter what translation you use, it all comes back to the same thing. It is God's Word. And it all has purpose. Not one word in here. It's irrelevant. We live in a world that's full of contrast and argument and awfulness, and we live in a nation where we are now got governed by people who have no moral and no fundamental basic or understanding of where we should be as a Christian nation. But we can go deeper with God, we can go deeper in the Word, we can understand more about what the Holy Spirit is saying, but then also go deeper in His love. Because I'll tell you something, love answers everything. When people are being horrible and nasty and they're being vicious to you, you can just show the love of God. It might seem easy to say and not easy to do, but trust me. We used to sing a song years ago, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Love of God is so wonderful and powerful. And when you go deeper in His love, that makes a world of difference to how you are, to what you are, to who you will be. And then go deeper in His power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is God, of course, but He's in power. Right here tonight, there is one part of the Trinity in this room, the Holy Spirit. He's here. And in Him, the manifestation of Jesus, the Savior, the King of all glory, is to be found. But He is the power source. When He came on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and it filled those people in that room. And He changed their world. Peter, who would always get things wrong, I'm looking forward to meeting Him in glory. A bit like a man like me. And he always opened his mouth and put his foot in it. He was just like that. But here's the thing. In Scripture, He's the only man who is recorded as having walking down the street. And so full of love and so full of God was He that even His shadow was enough to heal the sick. Now that is love. And that is power. When one of the prophets of old died and they buried him in a cave, a man in the course of a war, they threw this man who had just been wounded, and they threw him into this cave, and he came back to life because he touched the bones of this man of God who had been dead for many years. Because there's power in your bones. You who love Jesus, you who trust him, you go with him and let him do wonderful things with you. Make sure that your pegs are secure, that you have good ground. And then simply in sound teaching and fellowship and loyalty, you will prosper. Because that's what God wants you to do. I was once asked by our quarters to speak at one of the big conferences, and it was to ministers primarily, and the idea was that I was going to talk to them about loyalty, which isn't a word to be found in the Bible as such. However, what I did do was take with me some cards, one for Tesco's, one for Sainsbury's, one for... And back in the day, they were called loyalty cards. Now, if you've got more than one, there's no loyalty about it. It doesn't mean a thing. No loyalty involved in that whatsoever. But when we talk about the Master, and we talk about his love and his power in your life, it is lovely to know that he is faithful, because that's the word that translates from loyalty. He is faithful. Never changing, we've sung it tonight, always the same, yesterday, today and forever. And he's yours. He's your God. He's your Savior. The Holy Spirit is your power. And all he wants you to do is make a difference by doing as we've done tonight. Remember the tent, not all the stories of it, but the fact of making sure that you've got room to stretch, that you can put those tent curtains wide. You're going to spread them over all sorts of different situations and different people. Make sure that you've got those ropes in a place where they can be adjusted. You are flexible. Here I am. Lord, use me. When I was in Edinburgh, we would have a lot of students in our church, and they would come to me when they got their degrees. And I was always say, well, bless you, you've got a degree, well done, I'm one degree under. But the fact is that they would come and they would say, Pastor, I've done this degree and I can't get a job in what I'm looking for. I've done this degree, and they were getting quite agitated about it. I said, listen, you need to go before the Savior and say, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. And they said, anything? Anything. If that means serving behind a counter, let it be so. If that means sweeping off floor, let it be so. Humble yourself before him and say, Lord, I'm available. Wholly available. And they would come back to me invariably after a few months and they say, Pastor, I've had a letter. I say, wonderful, good for you. It was before we all got emails. And they would say, Pastor, I've got a letter. And they would say, I've been offered a job. And I say, right, what kind of job? And they said, oh, exactly what I was looking for. I said, that's wonderful news. What they didn't say and what I knew was that they'd been working in Costa Coffee or something for the last 6 months. Wasn't what they wanted to do, but they were making themselves available. And if you have doubt about whatever you're in and where you should go, then just say to the Savior, Lord, I'm available, I'm flexible, I'm willing to go wherever you say. I've gone on long tonight, I'm so sorry. Can't see the clock at the back, you know. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. But tonight I want you to just understand where we're at and pray God that tonight it's kind of put some more meat on what Pastor preached this morning, and that you'll understand that this is part of you being out there, being the person you should be. And in every aspect of your life, you're going to be that person. And you're going to take from what God has said in his word. And you're going to understand that he has made a promise to you. You will not be ashamed. You won't be disgraced. He is with you. And he will prosper you if you'll just trust him. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will minister into your life. And bring something of this time together that we should just know his majesty, know his power, and know that, you know, just because you're not the person on the platform doesn't mean that you can't serve. you're as able as I am to pray for somebody in a surgery or to talk to people in the queue. There is no difference whatsoever. It's the same God with you as he is with me. The same Holy Spirit. And all he wants you to do is be available. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for our time tonight, Lord, in your word. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will move by your power in every life here tonight. That whatever our position is in you, whether we're just starting out or whether we've been on the way for so many years, we know we can still go deeper into you. We can know more of your love. We can see more of your power. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll move tonight in everyone here, that when they go from this place tonight, they will go rejoicing and refreshed, knowing full well that they have a place, they have a purpose, and they can stretch their tent curtain, and they can trust you to cover all sorts of marvelous things, the good, the bad, but you are God. So, Lord, minister tonight, move by your Spirit, and take supreme control of every one of us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, for sharing this evening. You know, Michael prayed and recapped there, but, you know, to enlarge the place is to reach out, stretch out over others, Michael was speaking about, and maybe making room in us. Maybe they made making room in us. He spoke about there, lengthen the cords, be flexible. Maybe there's an area in our lives where the Holy Spirit, there's something of a stretching and flexibility in my heart, my mind, my attitude. I don't know what it might be, maybe for you. And strengthen the stakes, deeper, good, something deeper with God. Something deeper in his love, deeper in our experience, deeper in our commitment. I don't know. There's those areas that Pastor Michael has shared this evening and challenged us on. And it's great. We can say, you know, it's a great message. He's a great communicator. But there's of those three aspects, there's something for everybody. And there's something for me that I will take and we can take tonight. Should we stand together? And as we sing, we're going to give, and we're giving of our lives, we're giving of our time, and we're giving of our treasure. And as we sing and we seal this evening in worship, let's lay hold of something that Michael has shared that we might take as we go from this place. You know, we're gathered, now we're going to scatter across our week to stretch out and reach out the tent over others, to make room in our lives, to go deeper in God, maybe to be flexible on something. I don't know what it might be. Let's bless him. Thank you.